And tonight, Proverbs chapter 21, we'll read on that first verse together. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And Lord, thank you for the wisdom in your word. And as we look tonight into your word, I pray you would give us wisdom and Lord, encourage our hearts, strengthen us, meet with us. We'll thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Penn. I appreciate that. If you're one who takes notes, I have a sermon title for you tonight, a Bible study, A Heart, a Hand, and a Foot. A heart, a hand, and a foot. Everybody needs a warning every now and then. You realize that? Everybody does. Even a king, or in this case, a future king, needs a warning. I heard a child interviewed one day who was asked this question, and I quote, why would you want to be president? And the answer that was given was this, quote, so I can tell everybody what to do, end quote. Sometimes leadership goes to people's heads, and they end up losing their heads because leadership goes to the head so often. And in other words, they end up losing their heads. They lose control. And Rehoboam would one day be king. And Solomon wanted him to understand that he would ultimately be accountable. So you hear it now, that he would ultimately be accountable for every action that he performed, whether it be right or whether it be wrong. Proverbs 21:1 is one of the most interesting verses, in my opinion, in all of the Word of God. It simply states, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And the teachings that are found in this wonderful verse go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, believe it or not. So you'll have your Bible there in a moment, and we will go back to Deuteronomy. The teachings of this verse do go all the way back. And it's amazing how the Word of God, all of it, is it goes together. There's not a contradiction anywhere in the book. There is not an incomplete thought anywhere in the book. It all goes together. For example, now the rivers of water. You're looking at your Bible there. The rivers of water, the picture that it draws here is a division of waters. A division of waters. It's not speaking about a river itself or a stream, but it's talking about a unique way of channeling water from one part of a garden to another. That's what it's speaking of here. Rivers of water. You've heard people crying rivers of tears. Well, you know that they're not real rivers of tears. You realize that what they are is they are tracks or traces or a certain way a tear will flow. And that's what this is talking about here, is the way water flows. It speaks of irrigation. The same thought is found in Psalm 1 and verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The tree that is spoken of here, and you may want to write it in your Bible just so that you remember and have the context, because what is context? Context is everything. And then we get an understanding here. This tree that is spoken of here by this river is not a tree that's planted. It's what it is. It's a tree that's planted in a garden with proper irrigation. It's not talking about a tree by a river as we would recognize a tree. And so we're talking here about a garden. We're talking about a husbandman. We're talking about someone who cares for the gardening. And so now notice the little phrase, he turneth it. He turneth it. This is the pushing of dirt with the foot. In other words, making the water, the irrigation, go where it needs to go. And so when the water would flow, if a particular part of the garden was not getting proper irrigation, the husbandman would take his foot, literally, and he would move that dirt to where the water would be channeled to go where it needed to go. Now, where's that found in the Bible? I mentioned Deuteronomy, and you have your Bible there, chapter 11 and verse 10. And let me just read it to you. It says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowedest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot." Wow. That's what it's referring. You know, your foot doesn't sweat that much, and it doesn't leak water out of it. And it's talking here about irrigation. "And waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs." Do you see how the two passages, actually the three passages, go together? The one here in Proverbs 21:1, the one in Psalm 1 and verse 3, and now in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 10. And how in the world could you water a garden with your foot? It's simply done by pushing the dirt to where the water will follow a particular path and go to where the water is needed. And so Solomon was letting Rehoboam know that as long as he kept his heart soft and pliable, that God would keep him in his will. In other words, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, as the irrigation is needed in that person's heart and in that person's life, God would gently make a change. He might move the dirt a particular way to where one could get the nourishment that it needed and the strength that it needed and the wisdom that it needed. And as king, he was certainly going to need that. No tools were used here, and nor were any required. And any gardener that was worth his salt, he kept his ground well tilled. That's very important, because now look back again at Proverbs 21:1, the king's what? Heart. So we're talking here about his mind, will, emotion. We're talking here about the part of him that will be making decisions, and it's going to need to be guided. That's for sure. And so the soil called the human heart has great potential. And so God is referring here of its needs. And it's going to have to be irrigated properly, or it's not going to produce what it's supposed to produce. A king has to have his heart in the right place. It's amazing the times in the Word of God where the Bible says that a king was leading with God's wisdom, and he needed that. In other words, if he were to get his wisdom from God, then he was going to be able to have the dirt pushed in a particular direction and wisdom given in a particular area that he needed it. And Solomon was helping his son to know this. The king's heart, the one that Rehoboam's heart would one day, he would one day be a king. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he would push that dirt where it needed to go. Now, when the seed and the soil get together, there's supposed to be a thing called germination. But it only happens when the soil is in good shape. That's the heart, remember? So we're going to go to the New Testament now. We're going to go to a parallel passage, I believe, that goes right along with Proverbs 21:1, Psalm 1 and verse 3, and Deuteronomy chapter 10, or chapter 11 and verse 10. The teaching of the heart you've heard from me many, many years ago. And any preacher worth his salt's going to teach on this particular passage. So go to Matthew chapter 13, if you would, please. And we're going to look at the four different kinds of soil that represent the heart. First of all, there is the hard heart, and that's going to be Matthew 13 and verse 19. He says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," now what is the word of God? It's the seed, okay? "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." It represents a person who simply does not understand the word of God. There's no understanding there. And there's only two reasons that people cannot understand the Bible. I believe this. I teach this. I've taught it for years and years and years. There's only two reasons a person doesn't understand God's word. Number one, they are lost. They have no spiritual discernment. Oh, they can understand a story. Oh, they can know if a sower sowed seed. Of course, they can understand the basics of it, the simple understanding. But as far as spiritual application, the Bible says they are discerned by the Word of God, and they cannot discern the Word of God. So there's those who are lost. They're not going to understand the Bible. The second group of people are lazy believers. Lazy believers. Why? Because they're not diligent in their study of the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That little word, study. Now, most every one of the new translations that I have looked at in this particular passage to clarify what I wanted to say, they don't use the word study. They use the word be diligent. Well, I'm going to give them credit on that one because it means to study diligently. And this is where many believers, this is where they miss it, because they don't study diligently the Word of God. They sometimes barely read the Word of God, let alone study it diligently. And the Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the only way the Word of God is going to be divided rightly is through diligent study. A casual reading is fine for devotional reading, but then there's those times you're supposed to get into the Word of God and just study it. It might be a word, it might be a few words, it might be a passage, it might be grammar, it might be a number of different things, but you can read the Bible casually, and everybody ought to. But there ought to be times when every believer is diligent about studying the Word of God. So you're either a lost sinner or you're a lazy saint. And when seed falls onto hard soil, bird's going to swoop down and take it away. And so it is with Satan. If the heart is too hard for the Word of God to take root, Satan will take it away. It's just not going to have an effect there. Can a hard heart be softened? I do believe that it can be. And the only source of truth that we can use is the Word of God. Way back in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, it simply says this, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Many believers today have fallow ground in their hearts. They'll sit in church and walk out empty. And it's not because there's nothing coming across from the pulpit, though I'm sure that's true. I'm sure there's an emptiness that comes through the teaching of the Word of God by some people. But yet there are those who walk into church and their heart's hard and they're not going to receive. It's just the way it is. And if I can be perfectly honest with my church family tonight, all of us in this room, with no exceptions, have been to that exact place, to where our hearts have been hardened, to where we would not receive what God had for us through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. So there's the hard heart. And remember, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, it says he will turn and nourish that heart whithersoever he will. But the heart is represented in the New Testament in four different ways. First of all, the hard heart. Secondly, a shallow heart. A shallow heart. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Wow, that sounds good so far, doesn't it? Yet. Oh, why does God have to put words like that in the Bible? Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Look at that little word offended, off-ended. He's toppled, okay? Didn't take much to push him over the edge. In other words, he is easily offended. Doesn't take much. He looked at me this way. He said this to me. He wouldn't shake my hand. We got all these different excuses, and people get offended over the smallest of things that in our own minds are huge, but the Bible says at the end they're offended. They are toppled. They are toppled. This represents that emotional hearer who hears the word but never really receives it, so that it is rooted deeply into his heart, you see. A plant with a shallow root system is soon going to die. Brother Penn was pulling weeds out of our front yard out here one day, and he finally brought the tool that was going to get it out. He stuck that tool into the ground, and I think he pulled that up and had a Chinese hat on it. That was one of the biggest roots I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was long. It went way down. Well, that wasn't going to come up easy. And I think it was the week before that, you had said if you only had that tool, you could have got that up. Well, he finally got the tool and got it out. But the other things, just scrape the surface and you can pull it up because there's no root. There's no root system. And so a plant with a shallow root system will soon die out. When the sun comes out and the ground is scorched and things get hot, all of a sudden there's not going to be any nourishment going to those roots. They're too shallow. And it's not limited to the lost sinner, but extends to the lazy saint. No root literally means no depth. As I read this, I thought, boy, that sounds like a sermon I preached a long time ago. And I looked it up, and sure enough, you know what the name of the sermon was? No Root, No Depth. That was the name of the message that I preached. It was not this study, but it was taken from this verse. Very interesting. But there are many today who, oh, they're all excited. I mean, like they go to a church maybe, and it's the best thing since sliced bread, and everything's exciting. But after a while, things get tough. Maybe the sun comes out. Maybe things get hot. And all of a sudden, they're no longer receiving, and they're the ones who quit and walk away. It's just an amazing thing. And the Bible warns us about a shallow heart. And Solomon did not want Rehoboam to get offended at the people who are going to disagree with him. Of course, anytime you're in leadership, there are going to be those who disagree in one way or another. That's not a reason to quit unless you're shallow. And so, as I said, no root means no depth, no matter who you might be. There's a third heart that's mentioned in this passage, and that's number three, the crowded heart. Matthew 13 and verse 22. Now remember, Rehoboam is being taught by his father about his heart. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So we know we're talking about his heart now. He's trying to teach his son about his heart. He doesn't want him to have a hard heart. Certainly doesn't want him to have a shallow heart. But then there's this one, the crowded heart. And I think this is where many believers live. Verse 22 of Matthew 13. It says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That's amazing how many things can get in the way of bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus. And he mentions here specifically the care of the world. The Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For everything that's in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the Bible tells us there's a wisdom that comes from above, and there's a wisdom that comes from beneath, which is the world and the devil. And all too often, Christians get so busy with other things. Church is the first thing. God's the first thing. Devotions is the first thing. Prayer life is the first thing they cut out of their Christian lives because they're just flat too busy. Then there's people like me who say things like this, if you're too busy for the Lord, you're too busy. And then everybody starts saying, oh, I don't know, I'm just so busy. You don't understand my situation. If you're too busy for the Lord, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy for the Word of God, you're too busy. If you're too busy to serve the Lord, you are simply too busy. And I find that, y'all, it's most all the time. I've been in the ministry now 46 years full time, 79 till now. And I'm here to tell you, I've seen all of this. God's the first one out the door. It's really amazing. It represents the person who is more concerned with the affairs of this life than that which is eternal. And the cares of this life choke out the word of God. They really honestly do. The lost sinner will remain unsaved, and the lazy saint will never grow. Let me say it again. The lost sinner will remain unsaved, and the lazy saint will never grow in Christ. And you know, I think sometimes, leastways, this is my experience, so allow me to speak from my experience, okay? There are people that will be in a church for a while, and they'll say, after a while, I'm just not growing anymore. I'm just not growing anymore. It's not always because you're not getting fed from the pulpit. Sometimes it's because the heart's crowded. A fellow that used to attend our church, him and his wife, he came to me and said, "We're leaving Timberline." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Why? I want to know. If you're going to leave Timberline, tell me. Don't just walk out and do what some people did and leave a note in the mailbox." I said, "Why?" He says, "Oh, we just feel that we're not growing anymore here." The thing that I knew about that man was he was having an extramarital affair with his secretary from work. That was a known problem. And I said, "Well," and I, before I mentioned anything about that, I said, "How long have you felt that you're not growing here at Timberline?" And he told me, which was a particular amount of time. And then I looked straight at him and I said, "How long have you been having that extramarital affair with your secretary?" It's amazing. The time he was spending with his secretary equaled the time that they had not been growing in the Lord here at Timberline. And by the way, I'm not making this up. It was a date-to-date exact time scale. And I looked at him and I said, "You're telling me you're not growing here and you're doing your secretary for this amount of time. Don't give me that." And same guy came in a few years later, because they did leave the church. He came in and he brought me a check that was a certain amount of money. And he said, I heard that Timberline's going under financially and I wanted to bring my tithe. And I looked at that check that he gave me and it added up to about $15 a week or so. His heart was crowded. It was crowded, first of all, with another woman and lust and sex and all the rest of it. His heart was crowded. And that's why they weren't growing anymore, because he had things that he was hiding, you see. And so I say the lost sinner will remain unsaved and this lazy saint will never grow in Christ. See, where is that Christian now? I don't know. I hope he got things right with God and I hope he's active in a church somewhere. But I don't know that. Okay? So there's the hard heart, the shallow heart, a crowded heart. But then there's the one that Solomon wanted his son to have. And that would be the fruitful heart. And remember, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, the Bible says that God can feed that heart with everything that it needs as long as that ground is pliable, can be pushed by the foot, so to speak. An amazing thing. So the fruitful heart is verse 23. Now God doesn't have a yet, but he has the word but. Look what it says. But he that received, that little word received, welcomed, included, wanted it there. He says, but he that welcomed or received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Which heart is this? This is the one that Solomon wanted Rehoboam to have. Now, he never developed this. He was a rebellious individual. But this is the good heart, and it receives the word of God with gladness. Used to have a man sat in the back there every service. He was just like this. It's like, "I just dare you to bless me." And I know that because I spoke with him. And he just closed his heart to everything in this church. I said to him one day, "Thank you for all the things that you do here for the Lord. I wouldn't do it for anybody else but the Lord." "What great attitude. Thank you very much. I'm impressed by your willingness to work." This one receives the word of God with gladness. It understands the word of God. It obeys the word of God. And it is a heart that is fruitful. I mean, there's the fruit of wisdom. And there's so many different fruit that are mentioned in the word of God. But this is the heart that receives the word of God and just can't get enough. Can I say that? Just can't get enough. "Lord, bring it on. Lord, teach me when I go to church. Show me what I need to learn. Teach me what I don't know. Give me a pliable heart. Lord, give me what I need. Make me submissive to the word of God. Give me what I need so that I can grow." That's the good heart. And so, you know, the Bible, there's nothing said in the Bible good about the heart except that it's surrendered to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then hear this. the heart that is willing to receive whatever God has. It's an amazing thing. And so here is the subtle warning that's taught in this passage. And I told you, every now and then, even leadership needs a good warning. The gardener in Proverbs 21:1 was able to push the dirt with his foot in order to channel the water properly. He was able to do that. He did not need a tool to do it. Fallow ground was ground that had been plowed but was not yet smooth enough for the seeding. Fallow ground could be filled with hard clods of dirt and even unearthed rocks and all the rest of it. It would be all there. And that's why the prophet Hosea and Jeremiah admonished the people to break up their fallow ground. Why? So that it could receive. You think about Jeremiah, think about Ezekiel, those two prophets just in particular. All of them had it to a certain extent. But when you think about Jeremiah and you think about how their preaching was so rejected by so many people, it's an amazing thing. They had hardened hearts, fallow ground in their hearts. They could not receive it. Listen, when I go to church, and I know what's happened to me, I know it has, it's happened to me, it's probably more than like I said a while ago, it includes all of us. We go to church and we don't get what God has for us because we got too much junk that's in the way. I've done that, and I'm willing to admit it to you. I'm not proud of that, but the truth is we go with all kinds of stuff going on. Sometimes our hearts are hardened. What is it that hardens the heart? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the heart is hardened or calloused because of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin deceives us because the longer we're exposed to that which is wrong, the more like right it seems to us. And that hardens our hearts. It calluses. The picture that is drawn there of a hardened heart is that of a heart that is covered with calluses. It has no feeling. It has no ability to receive because it has no feeling. There's nothing there. And so Jeremiah and Hosea admonished the people to break up that fallow ground of their hearts. And Solomon right now is warning Rehoboam that if he did not keep the ground of his heart pliable, that God would have to use a tool to break it up. You see, the gardener who kept his garden plowed and all that, all he had to use was his foot, no tools. Didn't have to get out there, just move the ground with his foot. But if there was fallow ground, he had to have a tool in his hand. And how many times in the Bible did God use a tool to straighten his people up? Many times. And so the story that I have tonight for you, the lesson is this. We ought to all strive to have a fruitful heart, a pliable heart that receives seed, the word of God, into that pliable ground, so that we can be used of God in such a way that there's nothing standing in the way of that. And we all need that. Starting with me and working through all the rest of us, we all need that. And I know that, I know for a fact and I know firsthand that sin, the deceitfulness of sin, will cause a heart to be hardened. The Bible says in Hebrews, and be not hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Don't become calloused because you practice things that you make excuse for and accept into your life. After a while, you'll reject even what the Word of God says. Kind of like the fellow that I told you about that came in and said that he was no longer growing at Timberline, and I confronted him about this extramarital affair. He saw nothing wrong with what he was doing, nothing. Everything that he was doing was fine. And I thought, how sad that is. Rejecting even the Word of God that plainly states that what he was doing was absolutely wrong. So that's our Bible study for tonight. May the Lord use it to help each one of us to grow.